Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1105. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, just the usual, I would say, as it has become. So, nothing too out of the ordinary. And there was only one thing that in the past week at WWE TV, because I'm assuming you did not watch Collision.
I did not watch Collision, although there is something from Collision we can talk about later that I saw.
I want to say I watched maybe the first half hour prior to hitting record here. And it will probably end up being background noise at some juncture here. So, we can bring that up later. But the biggest thing that stood out to me, I guess, ended up occurring on SmackDown when we got the return of. Well, I guess return maybe is a little loose, but that's sure, whatever, of Jade Cargill. She comes out initially saving Tiffany Stratton from, and I'm trying to, Kiana James and Julia. And then after that, turning on her. And assaulting Tiffany Stratton, hence ending up with one of the matches at this coming Saturday night's main event.
Yes. Jade Cargill turns heel. I think it's the right move at the right at the right time. I think she, if you really think about her history before WWE and WWE, she only ever was a heel. It's
No.
what she knew. It's what she knew how to do. It's in some ways. It seems to come more naturally for her. There did seem to be some type of natural heel arrogance that came off of her. I think that this, yeah, I think this is a good move. I don't. She was not really going anywhere too far as a babyface. And if they wanted to keep this thing going with Tiffany, as well as find the other, interesting matches for her, I think it's as a heel.
It was kind of weird. Like, the one thing it made me think about was just the fact that Bianca Belair is still MIA.
She is still MIA, and pretty much for the majority of 2024, they were setting the table for Jade and Bianca. With them teaming first.
Yes.
And then things got a little wonky with Jade having to be off TV for a while. Then like a month later, Bianca having, or a month or two later, Bianca having to be off TV for a very long time, still off TV.
Yeah.
But if I'm WWE, Jade Cargill's winning this title on Saturday, and Jade and Bianca is the WrestleMania match. Depending obviously on Bianca's ability to return.
Oh, yeah. That was the one thing I'm like, well, it does, and you kind of hinted at it, like, it gets Jade. Is the heel, and then you don't have any problems when Bianca Belair returns.
Right. No, you have no problems with there. Yes. Yeah, I see. I can absolutely see that being the end game for all this. And again, one of WWE's biggest problems, if not WWE's biggest problem, is, and it's a significantly bigger problem for the men than the women, but there's still issues on the women's side. It's a lack of strong, top heels. And
No.
Jade provides you immediately with a strong top heel whose name isn't Nia Jax, recycling Nia Jax again and
Oh my gosh. And I mean, We can get to that at some point.
Oh, we can. Oh, yeah, we
Also.
can. Yeah, we can certainly get to that. But yeah, no, I said this is a no. I said no. So good move, well needed, both for Jade Cargill and her future and her persona, and what she's probably going to be, has been and will be probably be more proficient at. As well as WWE and women's division, SmackDown women's division, and the need for a top for the desperate need for a new top heel.
I mean, heels, I mean, we've kind of talked about how we're, surprised by different guys like LA Knight not turning heel just because there seems to be more of an opening, especially with a lot of the top heels, taking losses and then taking copious amounts of time off.
Yeah.
So it makes it hard to, like you almost need more replaceable heels than you do replaceable baby faces because the baby faces are supposed to be the ones who are around all the time and always defending the championship and yada yada.
Right.
There's definitely a lack of heels on both Raw, well, both men's, like you said, and women's. Like it's not just a one-sided problem. And this definitely helps out. Like, and it definitely feels like to me that they are done waiting on whenever Belair might come back. It seems like this is the only fresh route that they can go with Stratton's title reign at this juncture.
Yeah, and yeah, that fresh direction is ending it basically. Because there's no way Jay's gonna lose this. There's no way Jay could lose this match.
And I know that we've definitely talked about that before. Like she's lost two championship matches now. It's put up or shut up at this point. And it feels like it feels like Tiffany's definitely had a long enough run at this point that you've done most of what you want to do with her as far as
Yeah.
the championship goes, and she can probably survive out in the wild without the championship for a while.
Yeah, she can for a bit. Just without a doubt.
Overall, I think a good direction here. Like I was about dying when I saw some headline hit my phone. Like WWE always had plans to make Jade Cargill a main event talent. And I'm like, I just stared at it. I'm like, how is this hitting my phone? Like, she's been there how many years at this point? Like, she's probably had a longer run in the WWE now than she did in AEW.
I don't
Are
think
we
great.
20 to 20? Oh, okay, 20 to 23. So we're closing in on equal time here.
Well, some of that might be considered her. Is that considered? Would that considered her training time? Because I think that I swore the first match with Shaq wasn't. We were like a year into COVID when that when they did the Shaq deal.
When she actually came on TV.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Debut November 11, 2020, with Shaquille O'Neal,
I could have swore that was the
and
that was that in the
then.
spring.
Okay, yeah, that happened in November of 2020, but then she didn't really do anything until October of 21.
October of 21? Really? Because I thought that happened at Daly's place.
Because announced that she'd be in the tournament for the TBS championship.
Cannot be. That
That's at
can't be
least
right.
the Wikipedia
The
short
short
list
boot.
this thing for it.
Okay, this makes no sense. She began feuding with Rhodes and his wife Brandy, leading to a tag match pitting her and O'Neal
Oh, that's March. Who
against
would
Rhodes
that?
and Red Velvet, because Red Velvet took the match because Brandy was pregnant at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I thought I remembered that. I thought I remembered it happening,
Being
early
more.
March. We're almost close, about a year into COVID. Yeah, and they were still at Daly's place. Yeah, I swore. I knew. I remembered it being in like the late winter, early spring, and I remember it still being at Daly's place. All right.
Yeah, so she really started on TV in 21. So she's probably had about equal time in the WWE on screen wise as she did with AEW at this point. And I mean, why else would you sign someone away from the other company? You know what I mean? Hey, I'm going to sign this guy to be a mid-card utility person. Okay. That's an interesting choice. You know,
Right.
feel like you
Yeah.
can find those without without signing them over.
Yeah.
My humble opinion. So yeah, that was but yeah, Jade definitely is going to fill a need and like you said, more than likely capture the championship. Here this coming Saturday, I would say. Would that be your official
Yeah.
since we've been noting predictions,
Yeah,
would you go that route?
absolutely. It would be silly for her to turn heel and then lose her first match as a heel, even if it's like a disqualification or anything like that. There's no need for that. It's Tiffany's had a long enough reign. Jade's had plenty of setbacks. Let's get rolling with this.
Yeah, 'cause that was we hinted at it a little bit earlier, but I did kind of laugh. You were talking about retreads. As much as I have enjoyed Nia Jax's work in her return, I also feel like at the same time I'm like, are we doing this feud again? And the
Oh, Nia
fact
Jax and
that
Alexa Bliss? Yeah, it's so weird because it's so going against what Charlotte and Alexa look like they're going to be involved in. They're going to be more involved in Raw goings on. It's not a good matchup. It never has been. I still can't believe there was a WrestleMania where they gave them an insane amount of time to have a match where Alexa Bliss took way too much offense to be remotely believable. And that is the biggest issue with this match, obviously, and it's always been. There's just no believable way to do this match.
yeah, like I feel like a lot of times when you have a David and Goliath match, you have some the David in the situation has something that really sets them apart that you know, you're like, oh, okay, this is what makes it believable. And Alexa Bliss just doesn't have that thing against Nia Jax.
No.
Like when one of your finishers is the right hand, I'm like, but the person you're hitting is roughly twice your size. It's like, I don't think that's gonna work.
I'm also questioning the physics of the Sister Abigail here.
Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, I've had problems with that dating back to Bray Wyatt, so I will maintain those problems in the current state because I just kind of chuckled how she caught. Because was it in the matchup on SmackDown or was it the matchup on Raw when she caught someone just in a Sister Abigail out of nowhere? And I'm just like, huh?
I take issues with that, but okay. But yeah, the Lyra Valkyria is not Nia Jax.
No. Oh yeah, it was good. It was the matchup with Lyra and Bayley. But yeah, definitely. Alexa. Well, I guess it all started with Alexa not having good chemistry or a particularly good matchup with Nia Jax there. And yeah, the fact that they're running that one back is pretty weird.
It feels there's no point to it. It feels that unless Nia Jax is going to get a partner and she'll go for the tag belts, then what is this leading to?
That is the one of the few things that could freshen things up for even Nia Jax at this point.
I
Like I said,
guess
like I feel like
I guess so, but it also looks like Charlotte and Alexa are going to be spending, plenty more time on Raw as well.
yeah, because not only did they get issues with Lyra and Bayley, we also got the Kabuki Warriors involved over there on Raw. And yeah, that's a lot of matchup and a lot of good matchup at that.
Yeah, a lot of good matchups. Yeah, and that match the match that closed Raw, since we're on the ladies and might as well just keep going.
Yeah, sure.
Really, really good match. Certainly the highlight of the sh certainly the highlight of that show, for sure. Again, some really cool, innovative spots in this. I thought how Alexa caught Lyra in the Sister Abigail was pretty interesting. I thought, I thought the finish with the with Alexa hitting the Twisted Bliss on Lyra while she was on her stomach trying to stop Bayley from tapping out, followed by the stereo, fuck, what's that?
The
Natural
natural
selections,
selection. Yeah.
with Bliss doing it the opposite side. I've grown to like that as a tag team finish for the two of them. And I'm not someone who I don't know, and I'm not someone who doesn't particularly love, the natural selection, how it looks a good chunk of the time, but they've actually gotten the timing. They've actually been able to get the timing on their double team version actually very well.
It's pretty amazing how well they have timed that, honestly. Especially since they're both obviously just two different body types. So it's not like you can, yeah, like I'd imagine it's a little bit harder to time up because you're not even gonna have a similar stride going into the move there. Like you gotta really it's like synchronized diving. It's pretty impressive.
And oh, poor Lyra Valkyria getting her hair caught in Alexa Bliss's bra. Oh, that was rough. And I think Lyra's had more than one multi rough moment like that. I think there was the moment with that. I think wasn't the handcuffs wouldn't come loose at SummerSlam or whatever in the
I
match with
believe
Becky.
so. She's had some awkward moments in the ring already.
Yeah.
Like she has not been on the roster for that long. It's just like why did, and it's like you said, like it always seems like dumb stuff. Like I
Yeah.
was like, I everyone else has had braided hair at some point, if they'd had longer hair. Like how many times have I seen it get caught up in someone else's ring gear?
Yeah. No. No. No.
Other than
She has
not
some.
frequently at all.
No. She has some. Yeah. She's got some bad luck. But they, of course, they recovered well. And then, of course, after the match, we get the Kabuki Warriors attack. I guess somewhat interestingly, they don't attack Bayley. They attack the other three, but not Bayley, considering there is the previous damage control history, even though Bayley never wanted Asuka in damage control.
Yeah, that's a fun fact that they're letting slide for the time being.
I guess so. I'm not sure exactly where all this can head. I obviously they need to put some type of women's groups against each other heading into war games, and these are women are all candidates to be included in that match. Now, granted, there's some other women. We don't know if when Rhea Ripley's broken nose is going to heal. We don't, certainly we
Oh.
don't know when Bianca's going to be back. It doesn't sound like Liv Morgan's going to be back until early next year. But there's
Yeah, 'cause I
still,
was trying to remember if was that picture of her in the it's like the arm specialist or whatever. Was that a new picture?
What, Liv?
Liv, yeah, like
Yeah.
I saw a real contraption on her arm sometime in the past week here.
Well, maybe it's not that she's not that. Again, I heard early 2026, the last I read,
Well, yeah, I guess that's what I mean. Like, it still looked like it was in like some type of a
Oh,
cast or
yeah.
something like
Right.
that.
Yeah. And
So,
then,
yeah, not surprised by early next year.
Rhea Ripley broke her nose in Japan about a week or two ago. So we don't know, how that's going to heal and how quick
Yeah.
that's going to heal. But yeah, get trying to pair some women off with some of the women off with each other heading into War Games, probably a good idea.
Oh.
So that the match doesn't feel completely thrown together at the last minute like last year's did.
that was the real weird one that went on last year. That one did come out of the blue. And yeah, po definitely laying some possible groundwork here. Not surprised that Asuka and Kairi, who I did like the way that she played along with Asuka more this week in her own Kairi Sane way. Who, I mean, that woman is never completely serious, I don't think. But I do like that she's more going with the bit these days, and I did feel like that was kind of necessary. But good, nice improvement there as far as I'm concerned. Was there anything else since we talked about the tag team match? Anything else involving the ladies? Because that was kind of the rare women's main event there. Oh, I guess there is one other thing to talk about.
Well, there probably
Nikki.
would be two, but yeah, Nikki Bella first, yes.
Okay, because you'll have to remind me of what number two is, because I don't. But Nikki Bella, I would imagine, not had the comeback that she was expecting.
No, not at all. She again takes another big L, relatively clean. Raquel really didn't interfere that much or really get all that involved in the finish. So yeah, it was a yeah. It's not been a great return for her. She has lost certainly lost more than she's won. Hasn't looked too good in certain outings. This was fine.
Yeah, I mean it didn't it 11 minutes it didn't get it really overstay its welcome. Like you're just getting to a long match at that point. So yeah, everything did seem to go fine within this match itself. But
Yeah, no, but then the beatdown after the match leading to Stephanie that cared, making the save as you would expect. We would get the tag match for next week, but if we're having Nikki take L's like this, I don't think we're getting to a Nikki Bella heel turn on Stephanie that cared in a title challenge. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like that's in the cards. I think Nikki would have won that, would have at least won that match and then gotten attacked by Raquel. If we were in any way priming Nikki for a for a heel title run.
It definitely makes it a little bit of a rough look if that's the person going after your championship. than the one that just has lost more than they've won in the
But
past.
again, they are lacking singles heels to have be a viable threat to Stephanie. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, one way or the other, taking L's is not going to help that case.
No.
Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, going heel, I do think, would help Nikki herself, too. Like,
I do agree, but we just had the Jade Cargill turn, so it doesn't feel like, granted that they do a number of turns, but in sometimes not far from each other, but this feels too quick to do another major turn.
Yeah, it'd be pretty surprising. They, even though they have done them closer together from time to time, it would they do try to keep them separated.
But it did seem like they want to be, kind of one of their filler break glass things is to push Raquel to a title match, and it did seem like we will be getting Stephanie Vaquer and Raquel in a singles match in the not too distant future. Hey, maybe Nikki Bella can do the job in that tag match too. To help set it up.
Oh my gosh. Well, no, you've always got to have the champion take the pin so that the challenger has
That's true as well. That is true.
some say in this. So
I wouldn't do
thank
that, but we you need a you, Stephanie needs somebody.
Not surprising that it ends up as Raquel. If they've already lost to Charlotte and Alexa, so you don't really have a fresh matchup there. So taking them into the singles division is the way to go.
Yeah.
Even if it is one of those
First.
generic Challenger 101 kind of
Yeah, I
situations
mean,
for
it's
Stephanie.
they're gonna have to. Raquel and Roxanne are gonna have to spin their wheels for quite a while. We're 3 months, give or take, away from Liv Morgan coming back. Because I don't think anything major is going to happen in that storyline before Liv's ready to return.
No, I mean, you really need her to finish that story. Oh boy. We're saying finishing stories too much. But yeah, I mean, Liv needs to be involved in the end of Judgment Day. And
Right, of course.
yeah, it's probably part of the reason why it does get a little bit wild and woolly about when they are not seemingly going to break up.
Yeah.
Because honestly, even in this episode of Raw, there was still some level of dissension between Dominic and Finn and JD.
There was.
Yeah, there's still intrigue running around the Judgment Day camp, even without Liv Morgan being involved.
Yeah,
But
but again, it
yeah.
feels like we're not going to get any kind of a real major breakup until she's back. So we just kind of have these moments that just keep happening. But it feels like this thing should have broken up 6 months, a year ago. I mean, it just keeps going.
It has been really wild how long Judgment Day has lasted at this point. I had no idea that it would be through multiple leaders and then in this formation for probably this is probably the longest running cast outside of Liv Morgan being part of it. That we've had like that they've had a lot of iterations and they've kind of moved through them somewhat quick.
Well, Rhea and Priest weren't kicked out until over 2 years in
Oh, is it
to the
that
initial
long that they
iteration.
were together? Okay. Well, then maybe this still needs a little more time to cook. And it's definitely going to get it because of Liv Morgan's injury.
I mean, Finn's been in it over 3 years, going about what, 3.5 years now then, and going out or
Oh,
going on to close to that.
I think so.
JD was added. I don't exactly remember when JD was added. JD may have been added 2 years ago. Because he would have been in that War Games they had with all the baby faces that before Punk showed back up. Yeah. And that's going on 2 years ago. So and J I'm almost positive JD was in that match.
Oh, come on. I know that. Come on, internet. You can't fail me. This is, the Judgment Day timeline. Is something wild. Yeah, 22 was when Edge started it.
That feels like a lifetime ago.
It's wild. It's wild that it only has been 20 or 3 years, honestly, that this Judgment Day group's been around. Like, if you were trying to put JD in there for 2 years, I think he's got to be short 2 years at this point. November 13 of what year was this that they added JD after multiple 23. So yeah, I mean, I guess JD has been in it for almost 2 years out of the three. He's been in it more than he hasn't been.
Yeah, no, he's been in it. I mean, granted, there was a fairly long injury layoff after he nearly died that one time.
It's really helped his status within the company, though, after
It
nearly
actually
dying.
did. It really helped him. You hear you see less and less people making big head jokes anymore. He has crossed the line to be taken to, into being taken seriously.
Well, and I'll tell you what, that was something else. Thanks for the reminder. Another one of those moments, him and Finn went in to challenge AJ Styles and Dragon Lee, and I'm like, hold on, is he taller than both of these? Is he taller than both Styles and Dragon Lee? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he is. And I'm like, are there that many people that are that short in the WWE's main roster?
Yes, there yes there are now. And JD got to score a win over Sheamus. That
I
might be
mean,
actually be his biggest singles win ever.
I would have to think so. Definitely the biggest that I know of. I will put it that way, at a minimum. So, good for him. Nothing like needing to nearly die to succeed in your profession. Oh man. But yeah, that Judgment Day timeline is something else. That is really something else.
It really is, yeah.
I guess to jump out of Judgment Day talk altogether here and maybe refocus a little bit on the Saturday night's main event matches, because there was definitely, oh my God, I forgot. I guess we may as well stay on Judgment Day here. Never mind. But talk about the Dominic Mysterio end of this here. Because yeah, Judgment Day, we can't get enough talk about it.
No,
He
we can't get enough Judgment Day at all.
he is going to be taking on Penta and Rusev, because yeah, he did not employ Judgment Day's help, but he did get the Americano gang to help him do some dirty business
Yeah.
against
Yeah, he made that mistake
Rusev
every heel makes by thinking that if
and
he interrupts a number one contenders match, he won't have to face them both in a triple threat match.
Penta. Yeah, for some
You think these guys would
reason,
learn by now?
yeah, no one, no heel has ever learned that. Even the great Dominic Mysterio, who has cheated his way to many a victories at this point, cannot figure out this conundrum. So yeah, that's yeah, I guess that match is pretty straightforward. As far as how it's been presented, like I feel like they've been building to this as being a triple threat match for a while at this point. One of the
Yeah.
few matches I can say, maybe not intentionally building for Saturday night's main event, but it definitely is building for something, and it ends up happening to land on there. But
Right.
yeah, I mean, not much more to say about that, because I mean, I don't think there was any kind of wild presentation, any big backstage segment. I mean, everyone had their stuff, but nothing to really write home about.
Right.
So, I guess I can get back to where I was going to get to. Leading off and definitely chewing up a decent chunk of SmackDown. Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. They are definitely in a heated feud now.
They indeed are in a heated feud. I'm intrigued to see where this is going to go. I imagine because we're guaranteed a new champion in one match, and we suspect there's going to be a new champion in at least one other match. I imagine Cody retains, but then he has the same problem he has. Drew McIntyre is the only heel on SmackDown with any credibility. So I almost feel like you can. You try to stretch this out a bit to, because I don't feel like Cody's gonna end up in War Games in Survivor Series, so he's gonna end up defending his title in his own separate match.
Oh.
I don't know. Do you get another match out of Drew? Do you have Randy Orton get involved so you can do a triple threat? That
Hey,
might be the
yeah.
better option. That might be the better option, I guess.
Yeah, 'cause Orton still has unfinished business with McIntyre, does he not? Or did he take a clean L to McIntyre at some point?
He took a fairly clean L to McIntyre,
Okay.
but again, he's not gonna take those things lying down. So yeah, he's got so yeah. So there's unfinished business there. He
Yeah.
had his one match with Cody earlier this year. So yeah, that would getting to that would probably be a good idea. Again, I don't see McIntyre taking the title.
Yeah, does not seem like the right time for him to take the title. And it would be an interesting choice to have a title change on a show that I would imagine is going to be headlined by CM Punk and Jey Uso.
I'm not sure about that. On Raw, and this is also, and yes, on Raw, they made a point of calling Rhodes and McIntyre the big one
Oh, okay.
during the
I
rundown,
must have forgotten about that.
and mentioned Punk and Jey Uso first. So
Oh,
that's interesting.
okay.
And of course,
Yeah.
we certainly will get into that. And of course, wrapped up into all into the Rhodes McIntyre feud is the whodunit about who attacked Jacob Fatu. Someone who believes it really was Drew McIntyre. One big Jim Uso who attacks Drew McIntyre during the promo exchange, and then gets himself in a no disqualification match with Drew McIntyre later in at the end of the show, which, surprise surprise, he loses, because God only knows Jimmy Uso needs to lose another singles match. I don't know if he's won one in the last 2 years.
Yeah, Big Jim has gotten big spotlight, and I feel like has been holding up his end of the bargain. Unfortunately
Yeah.
for him, though, he is still not getting any type of real push, as evidenced by,
No,
as you note,
and
another L.
this was so unnecessary. He's involved in the main event storyline on Raw. Why would you send over to SmackDown just to take a loss? It really wasn't good use of Jey Uso, J Jimmy Uso at all. It didn't do anything for McIntyre, because he beat somebody he should beat. So it's not like this
Oh.
big win either. He already has the title match. Yeah, this was just kind of, this was that, they did this match to fill time, and yeah, I don't, yeah. If we really think about it, no, it's not necessary. It only hurts Jimmy Uso's case to, stick around this main event scene in any way, shape, or form. Because the guy just, as I said, the guy cannot buy a singles win, and he's even been losing tag matches recently with his brother, for God's sakes. They're supposed to be the greatest tag team of all time.
Yeah, Jimmy has definitely had a bad string of luck in the W department. Struck it rich in the life department, not striking it rich at the old job here. What else happened in the men's department? Oh, I guess it did kind of make me laugh a little bit, seeing as though Solo Sikoa and the MFTs came out after accusations about Jacob being attacked happened. And seemingly, at least from what I remember, none of the announcers brought up the fact that it could have been these clowns to have done it.
Yeah, they don't want you thinking that. They're going in their own different direction. I imagine will be going for the tag team championships against the Wyatt Six, and having various matches, single, tag teams and singles matches with members of the Wyatt Six,
Yep.
going
Six man
for.
matches, four.
Well, you really can't do well.
Yeah, you
Wait,
could do
huh?
six, right?
You can do four. You can do four. You can do four. You can do four on four. I mean,
Okay.
there's five. I mean, there's five on one side, but because you can't, you really can't. You, I guess you can't. Don't count Nikki Cross as someone who's going to be viably in any of these matches.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't given her even a women's singles match in however long the gimmick has happened, really.
No, they really haven't done that.
She's just getting paid to be a character. God bless. Save those bumps.
And of course, the feud must continue. Damian Priest and Aleister Black. He didn't get his
Oh my
revenge,
gosh.
Kevin.
Oh, I just, it's one of those, yeah, it's just not helping anyone at this point.
No, it's
I guess
not helping anyone. It's yeah, I
best way
mean,
to sum it up.
it defeats the win that Black got. It even in some ways defeats the purpose of putting Black and Zelina
Vega
Vega
together.
together on screen.
Yep.
And then of course, because he immediately loses his first match after they've been put together. And if it doesn't help, Ilya Dragunov, who needed a major distraction to in order to defeat Aleister Black, and Dragunov, he's just one of those guys who I think he's over to some. He was over. He was getting over to some extent, but there's still that he's just a wrestler ceiling on him, and that he's not enough of a personality to really, make it up another level here. In fact, he might be out kicking his coverage with this U.S. title deal.
That was maybe the most interesting thing that I found about it is just the fact that they're gonna let him run with it. I mean, he had a 'cause was the backstage segment with Sami Zayn this oh yeah, it
It was
was
this
this
week,
one.
yeah.
Yeah, 'cause he won the title last week. So,
Right, yes.
yeah, like it's just like, oh, he's like gifting it to him, and I'm like, well, this is an interesting way to get this guy off and running here. I mean, I obviously did like his matches in NXT.
Yeah.
It is
But the
one of
main
those
roster
things.
ends up just so different for these guys. These NXT is just a different animal.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's what I was gonna go towards. Basically, what you're saying, like, there needs to be some type of development in character.
Yeah.
Although Gunther isn't that different from NXT Gunther, he's definitely added layers, and it is kind of funny that him getting rid of both of his junkies helped out immensely.
It did help, yes, and developing a glib, sarcastic personality on promos instead of
Oh,
just being,
yeah.
I am so ser I am just being, I am serious wrestler, respect me. Yeah, that really helped him. I got
Yeah.
yeah, I might be underselling Dragunov, but he took the title off of a very popular babyface who was, running with this US Open Challenge thing. I don't know. It just even with the one Sammy did, especially after the Cena one, it just feels like just an excuse to have a long match on TV. My mind
Oh.
can wander during these things. It's the matches go a little too long to hold my interest. Because it's really because it because it
Yeah.
is once again we are so we have the US title is just so far behind, in importance.
Oh, well, yeah, and I guess the one thing I don't like about the challenge thing, it at least for Dragunov, is what you were just kind of talking about, where the match is the thing that takes precedence. And it's kind of like, I think everyone knows that the guy can wrestle.
Yes.
But I do think that, yeah, him developing on the mic is gonna be the thing that takes him to the next spot. And they didn't give him a whole lot to chew on this past week. He was okay with Axiom and Nathan Frazer backstage. So I'm trying to remember who else was, 'cause did someone come into that scene that ended up distracting him after that? I'm trying to remember offhand as
I don't remember.
I scroll. Oh, okay, yeah, that was the Sammy one. It was after the match.
But again, if it
Oh
next.
no, DIY came in after Dragunov left. Okay.
Yeah. Again, I just can't bring myself to care about any of this. It just doesn't feel important. It just doesn't. And that's the thing. If next week it's Dragunov versus Frazier or Axiom, good little match. But again, I see it being something that loses my attention, and the longer it goes on, because I just don't care. I don't care about the characters. It's as simple as
No.
that.
Yeah, not definitely not going to help anyone's character, 'cause I mean, I even think that Frazier and Axiom have been somewhat undersold on TV. I think they have an interesting dynamic that that could be told a little bit better on the big stage that, you've talked about it a lot, where they just like, oh, okay, you guys saw NXT, so you know what this chemistry is all about, and they haven't really shown that enough. One that has been really weird to me, and I'm just seeing it here. Has it struck you as wild that Kit Wilson is some type of weird voice of reason backstage recently?
It's they're doing an anti-woke gimmick. It's what they are. It's what it is. It pretty much talking about toxic masculinity and whatnot. He's annoying enough. I mean, it's a go nowhere gimmick that's just gonna see him, get his ass kicked over and over again.
Oh.
It's not gonna get him, high on the card. It can be funny. It's getting him on the show. I mean, I guess that's half
Yeah.
the battle.
It is half the battle. It is half the battle. It's been kind of wild to me. Just seeing him on TV recently, like I said, I just kind of saw his name as I was going through the Dragunov stuff, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I kind of forgot that he's been a character on SmackDown for a while now, and that's been a little bit wild to me.
I guess it's the Chelsea Green principle. As long as you're getting TV time, that's a win.
Oh, and he's doing it. I don't know what happened to Elton Prince. I'm going to
Right.
assume that he must be still injured.
Still injured, and they must be still serious enough that they're just gonna go in a completely different direction with Kit Wilson, yeah.
So I guess back on Raw, we had more Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed with Paul Heyman trying to teach them the way, I guess you would say.
I imagine, yeah. I am. This is one of those things that I'm very confused about. You do this, the biggest angle you've done in a long time, the biggest shock angle you've done in a long time 2 weeks ago, and it feels like you're really scaling back on them instead of moving all the way forward. Going all the way with it. It's an unusual choice.
Well, yeah, I mean, given the outcome of the match later in the evening, between Braun Breaker and LA Knight, it's getting better.
It's getting a little better. Again, I the decision to not run with Bron Breakker, getting the match with Punk at Saturday's main event, it's unusual to me. I feel like, because they usually don't scale back like this. But yeah, no, it that that's a win. That's a statement win for Breakker. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if. And I don't know how long they would drag out their not being a world champion, but if Breakker and Reed interrupt the match and just take out both Punk and Jey Uso.
I mean, we could not have a champion for a while longer
Yeah, I
if they wanted
guess.
to do something like if they wanted to do something like that.
Yeah. They could do that.
Would not be entirely shocking.
No. I
Because
don't.
they do. It still
Because
does
they are being
seem
too
like they're
quiet.
thinking. Even with the win, it still seems like they're aiming for small potatoes, considering the interaction really that they had with Adam Pearce, and then everything else has been, and
It went
not just a
against.
step backwards, but like
Right.
a sprinting backwards as fast as you
They just
can
got
kind of
the,
situation.
they were given their punishment and they just took it. It doesn't feel like the, you're two lead heels, and they can, if they don't do something, they can start to feel bad. Even though with Rollins gone, they can still go back to feeling secondary. And you don't want that because again, we are in a major heel deficit here, and we should be pouring more heat on these guys. I guess this kind of doubles us back to the beginning of Raw and the CM Punk Jey Uso confrontation.
Oh.
I mean, well played, but again, this whole Jey Uso thing, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't it, it just got I just can't get past it. Like, why are we doing this? Why are we making him an asshole? It still doesn't affect the way the crowd reacts to him at all, which is hilarious. I mean, I guess it's some of that's the Pavlov dog, theory at a play with Yeet, but it just
Right.
why even take the risk with your lead, when one of your lead baby faces, your kid's hero baby face. I was meant to that. I've said that. I think I've said that every week for over a month now, but it holds true. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we having him, Jay and Jimmy, have dissension between them? We've seen what happens when they foot wrestle each other. It's not good.
And it has been kind of wild that every confrontation they've had, they've ended up working it out and everything's been fine afterwards. But
Yeah,
it's
and I'm pretty sure
still
that I think that's what's
weird
going to
to get
happen.
to that stage.
Unless one of these guys is going to turn heel and end up, with Heyman, or if Jey Uso is going to, turn heel and end up with Heyman, or what have you, maybe LA Knight, but but then of course he took that L and been taking his other L's, so I'm not sure he's in prime position for the big. He probably should turn heel, but I don't know if he if. That big of a heel push, though.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like he's almost in the same spot where I don't know if he wins the championship as a heel, even.
Yeah, that'd be a good question. So, I mean, we're speculating. We're not entirely sure what's going to happen. I guess that's a good thing heading into Saturday's main event. We don't really know who's going to win. I mean, I guess if one of them is going to win, I imagine it'll be Punk, because it feels like we've already done the Jey Uso as champion, and some people didn't think it went well enough to have it keep going too long. So, when you got your kind of fun again, it's your fun loving baby face. You shouldn't be turning him heel, and maybe he shouldn't be world champion.
Yeah, I mean, he'd still be fun loving without the championship.
Yeah, he can still be that. Yeah,
I'd be shocked if he doesn't get a second reign at some juncture, just because I do feel like for him to finish his story, to go back to that trope, he could use a second title reign. You know what I mean? Like if you really want to keep him in the upper echelon and not kick him back down the card like the two guys we talked about a little bit earlier. Well, at least one guy, Damian Priest, definitely got kicked back down the card. Although, did he have two? No, he only had the one championship run. Or did he have two?
He had one. Yeah, it was
Okay.
just only one, and it's been downhill for him ever since.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like Jay at least needs a second run, at some point to not end up in that Damian Priest territory. But given the WWE's propensity for long championship runs, that's still a tough cookie to crack.
Yeah,
You know?
no, it definitely is. And
So I'm with you in the prediction department for the CM Punk versus Jey Uso stuff, and that I guess I'm leaning towards CM Punk. Just this is another one where I don't know. The guy could still probably go longer without the championship. He's been back long enough though that it feels like he needs to finally go ahead and win it so that he can get that monkey off of his back. Because unlike Jay, if he just does it one more time and never has the championship for the rest of the time he has a contract in the WWE, CM Punk will be just fine.
Yeah.
Like he's in that made man territory where, trope alert. Let him finish his story about coming back to win the championship. It happens. The man can move along. He's a big enough name that he does not need a championship involved in most of his matches. So, anything else to talk about on the WWE front?
Well, there was the other women's thing on Raw that you forgot about, and I forgot about too as well. And then just remembered it again.
Oh.
Maxxine Dupri offered
Oh.
another championship match against Becky Lynch, but she's just not quite ready yet. She needs to talk to her mentor. What a bizarre, kind of, that's a weird way to.
Yeah,
If you've
well,
got
and
her
not
number, then what's the hesitation?
yeah, not only that, she's like, I want to. It wasn't heelish just because of how it was presented, but it feels heelish anytime someone's like, I'm gonna be ready for this match soon, but I'll tell you when I'm ready for it. And it's just
Yeah.
like, okay.
And
It
plus,
definitely was not presented heelishly, but
no, and Pierce
weird
should have offered it to
situation.
her as a match where if Becky gets disqualified or counted out, she loses the title.
Yeah,
That's
oh.
the natural progression of a story like this, but that doesn't
Yeah.
sound like it, because that's where Maxxine Dupri was going. It's like, what does it matter if Becky's just going to get herself intentionally disqualified again? Okay, we'll put the title can change out of disqualification or count out then. Problem solved.
Like you're right. It normally is the natural progression, and for some reason, not has not been applied in this situation. Yeah. So I guess that just I don't know if it was just to buy them time so that they didn't interfere with the Saturday night's main event card. I have no
Yeah.
idea which event is next. I would not imagine that a Maxxine Dupri match is going to make it onto the Survivor Series card, given the nature of the length of those matches just themselves. So,
No, I don't think so. I mean, who knows? Maybe she'll get a spot on the face women's team. I guess it's
oh,
possible, but I'm pretty sure this
yeah.
match takes place on an episode of Raw and then in the weeks before.
Oh, yeah. It might not even get a PLE spot. That would not
I
be
don't
completely
imagine it
surprising.
will.
So random question that I warned you about earlier.
Okay.
Did you watch Everything on the Menu with Braun Strowman after SmackDown Friday evening, so to
I
speak?
did not watch that. I did. I just didn't didn't feel like it. Did you, Kevin?
I did not. I've got to admit, I kind of I know that I've seen a similar concept out there previously, but it's still fun, and Braun Strowman seems like he's having a blast.
Yeah, it did seem
So
like he
I've
was having
got.
a blast. It's cr pretty crazy how long ago they had to have this in the can for it's supposed to be him traveling the country along with his WWE schedule. So it's we're talking
Oh.
this stuff happened like a, this this is this had to have happened close to a year ago.
Yeah. So I've got to admit, if I possibly get some free time, I might end up watching
Yeah, I
it.
might throw it.
It's some juncture, but it's definitely not a priority.
No. And speaking of not a priority, that brings us to Collision. And the one thing from Collision that I saw that caught my eye. Did you see the former Tegan Nox make her AEW debut in a very inconspicuous fashion?
I did I as noted at the beginning of the show, I now have Collision on in the background, and she it appeared during one while we were recording here, so I did not hear it. I was aware that she was in that segment.
Yeah, it was just so inconspicuous, and she's standing next to this woman I've never seen before in my life. Apparently, she's also from the same part of the world she's
Oh,
from,
okay. She's from
and they've been a
Wales.
team in other
I
play
believe
Wales, and they've all been
Wales.
a team in the past. Yeah, I think
Okay.
Wales, yeah. But I just crazy that Nixon Newell, I believe,
Yes.
just being treated like someone with no time on national television. It's like her WWE run never happened. That's just how little, unfortunately, how little of an impact I guess she really made. Other than a brief some brief flurries in NXT that were long enough ago that they've been largely forgotten about.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Because does she have back-to-back basically ACL injuries?
Yes, just a crazy run of bad luck. Yes.
And she just never recovered from, like I'm
No.
not sure if she physically recovered or not, but just on a getting on TV and the WWE kind of perspective, they definitely lost faith in her ability to do her job. And yeah, it's never accounted to much. And yeah, it's kind of wild. Most of the WWE people have some type of push. I mean, I even feel like Ace Austin, one of the few guys to me that I thought of as a TNA guy who went over to AEW here, also somewhat making his debut with the Gun Club or whatever they're calling themselves
Yeah,
these days.
that I haven't seen it, and I don't
But
know. I don't know if I've ever seen an entire. I don't know if I've ever seen a full Ace Austin match. Nor do I. Nor can I actually picture him. So yeah,
I guess my
these
point
TNA
was
original guys are these later TNA people are just not on my radar, unfortunately, for the most part.
he's just
Let's say at
get
NXT.
yeah he's just getting more fanfare than Miss Newell is. I'll at least
And
put it that way.
that's just wild. Because it just as I said, it just as I was trying to say, it just
Yeah.
feels like she's back at square one in her career.
Yeah, it's kind of wild because their women's division could still use someone like her in
Yeah,
it.
if she's if she's if she's and maybe as and maybe in a tag in a tag team will help her longevity and durability going forward.
Yeah, if they want to keep a women's tag division around, they need some women that are dedicated to the tag division. You can have the super teams like the WWE does, should you want to go that route, but you at
And
least
it
need
does feel,
some of the teams
and it
that
does
are
definitely seem like
teams.
the majority of the teams in the in this tournament are super teams,
Oh,
with only Tajay
most
seemingly
definitely.
being really committed to this whole thing.
Yeah, they're the only ones that are something. I didn't pull that up.
Yeah, it's what. Well.
Because I yeah like you said like I think most of them are
I mean, I like the idea of some of the super teams. I like the idea of Mercedes and Athena. And having, I guess, Tony Storm and Mina Shirakawa as a team is good. Yeah, they've made a joke about how Harley Cameron has just been, jumping around with everyone, essentially looking for a tag team partner. And she had never really interacted as that much with Willow before,
Yeah,
just
okay,
not
so
being put in a tournament together.
now I mean they did give them a match, I believe, the previous week, Queena Monata and Jamie Hayter, because I believe Jeremy and I talked about that. I wouldn't call them a long-term team by any means. The Sisters of Sin would call them a team, Sky Blue and Julia Hart. Even if they wrestle individually for a decent chunk. Babes of Wrath, as you just mentioned, Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron. Might want to put super in quotation marks for them, but it is something. Definitely a super team, Mercedes Moné and Athena. This is more of in quotation marks, Alex Winza and Riho as a team. They are taking on the Timeless Love Bombs of Tony Storm and Mina Shirakawa. Definitely a super team.
Yeah,
No
definitely a super
quotation
team.
marks needed. this is kind of a regular team. This is more also one person doing the heavy lifting. The top gods evidently are Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. So I would call them something of a regular tag team. And yeah, Tay J, Tay Mello, and Anna Jay, something of a regular tag team with
Something of a
I would
regular tag.
call.
Well, they've been teaming off and on, it feels like, for about 4 or 5 years now.
Well, I guess that's what I mean, is that because it's off and on and they're not consistently a team, like they've
Yeah,
definitely
right.
been on screen and we've had a pregnancy involved in the
Yes, of course we have.
proceedings also.
Yes, we have.
There have been a lot of obstacles for those two being an on-screen duo, because it's probably been like 3 years in AEW time that they've been friends on screen. But because of various either injuries or pregnancy, that on-screen time has been definitely cut into ribbons somewhat. But hey, they've been back at it for a couple of months here now. Yeah, it's probably better for both of them. Like, don't feel like either of them are really going to pull it off in the singles division. They're in the category of may as well stick them in the tag team division with the two of them. They have not had any luck with the singles.
Right, yeah.
Anything else to talk about in the world of professional wrestling before we get on out of here, sir?
No, not particularly. I think I
Yeah,
we got it. We
quiet.
got it. The women of AEW, for God's sakes, on a Tuesday show. I think we're
I guess the only
I think
thing
we're
we
all
could
set
talk
here.
about is if you wanted to at all of the mystery segments
Oh yeah.
on Raw and SmackDown leading up to I did start to wonder. You definitely could have sold me on it being Tony D'Angelo until Monday when they did the poker chip, and I'm like, this has nothing to do with Tony D'Angelo.
No, it just turns out it's just a new WrestleMania promo, just advertising, combo tickets on
WrestleMania.
sale.
Yeah.
That's an it's you know it's interesting that I guess they had to make some note of who's going to be there, even though Brock Lesnar is really the only, I would not even surprise, but the only sub person you would say think of, okay, this is something more of a special attraction than the other three.
Oh.
Not even not counting Roman Reigns. It's just, yeah,
Yeah, Roman Reigns is still a regular enough to not be called a special attraction in some
I
ways. Definitely
guess.
not the.
I imagine. Yes, you would say that. Yes. So yeah, no. WrestleMania, new WrestleMania promo. No new talent coming in. No one returning. Just a lot of hype for a 1 minute ad. And a photo shoot.
Oh boy. Yep. Okay.
Not sure
That's.
why they needed to, not sure why they needed to go those lengths for that.
Yeah, it was a little overkill. Definitely a lot of intrigue for a lot of I'm not really gonna call it disappointment, but I guess I don't have a better word for it, you know? Letdown, is letdown better? Like, is that not
It
as
was definitely a
harsh
let.
as
Yeah, I would
saying
say it's definitely a letdown.
disappointment? Definitely a bit of a letdown. It's like, oh, okay, great. It's just an advertisement for an event that you guys are doing. Great. Bell Time Beer on my end. Saucy Brew Works is out of the fine city of Cleveland, but they also have a location down here in Columbus. I did grab this one though up on main campus, up in the land. It was the salted caramel version of What's His Nuts, which is a peanut butter flavored coffee stout. 7.5% alcohol. It delivers on all of the above. It is you definitely taste a little bit of saltiness in there. You get the sweetness of the caramel, and the stout slash nuttiness helps cut into said sweetness because it's a little more bitter and takes the edge off the sweetness. Very good beer from Saucy Brew Works. I believe they have a pretty large footprint, given that they have two different locations here within the state of Ohio. So should one want to find them, go ahead and seek them out. They have some pretty daggone good beers, and their pizza's also very good if you want to go to one of their locations. So Bell Time Beer suggestion from at DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.